everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Kaylee McEnany, Marie Harf, Jesse Waters, and Brian Kilmeade. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Get ready, everyone. It's the new normal. Right smack dab in the middle of an election season, the leading presidential candidate is off the trail and on trial. Donald Trump was back at the defense table listening to New York prosecutors lay out their case against him and grill their first witness, David Pecker, who is the ex-publisher of the National Enquirer. Bragg's team telling a 12-person jury that Trump tried to illegally influence the 2016 presidential election by preventing damaging stories about his personal life from becoming public, like covering up alleged hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels, or as they put it, quote, it was election fraud, pure and simple. Trump's lawyers countering that none of this was a crime and the case should have never been brought and is an attempt to kneecap Trump's current presidential campaign. President Trump defending himself after court was dismissed for the day.
This is a Biden witch hunt to keep me off the campaign trail. I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here. And this will go on for a long time. It's very unfair. This is a case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg. It was just at the last minute they decided to do it. This has never happened before, where the state tries to insert itself in federal elections. Nobody's ever seen it.
The case is already overflowing with tabloid drama, and some of the media couldn't help themselves. They added to it.
What you have heard about it being kind of a dingy courtroom is real. He kind of slumped his shoulders and was kind of, I'm a slump-shouldered person. He was kind of slump-shouldered like this. He seems considerably older, and he seems annoyed. Resigned, maybe angry.
We're a little bit jealous that you were there.
CNN reporters inside the courthouse have observed that Mr. Trump shut his eyes at one point, leaning back in his chair.
Trump is sitting alone at the defense table. It just reminds us of something we've been talking about all day, the powerlessness, right? He has to sit through these proceedings, often very dull, very procedural.
Okay, Jesse, let me start with you. The prosecution says this is election fraud, and they say pure and simple. Is it?
I call it pure evil. So they've taken away his freedom of speech, and now they've taken away his freedom of movement. So he has to sit there all week for 6 weeks, and if he says anything, they'll throw him in jail. If he leaves, they throw him in jail. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had more allowances for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I think they bought $1 million soccer field for the people in Gitmo. I don't know if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was able to visit his son for his high school graduation, but it's similar. They're freezing him to death. They're putting him in a meat locker. He says it's like 45 degrees in there. And they're putting his life in danger. And they're telling the entire world, all the wackos, this is where the former president's going to be at this date, at this time, surrounded by high-rise buildings. And then they're seizing his bank accounts with these unconstitutional fines, unreasonable bond asks. It's disgusting. They say it's a fraud, but under existing election law, and I'm the only lawyer here at the table, candidates can't use campaign funds for an expense that would exist anyway, even if it benefits the campaign. So wait a second. I don't understand. If it's illegal to use campaign funds for personal issues, but it's also illegal to use personal funds for personal issues during a campaign, what was Donald Trump supposed to do? Either way, he's going to get prosecuted. That means it's just illegal for Donald Trump to be a candidate, is what they're saying. What was he supposed to do? He's going to use donor money to deal with an extortion attempt from a woman? Because it's pure extortion. This is a woman who's a porn star who owes Trump $600,000 already for frivolous lawsuits. And she was represented by a guy who's in prison for extortion, Michael Avenatti. And the star witness, the other lawyer, is a lying felon who's been in prison. This is the case. And that Donald Trump keeps on making the point that this is being directed by Joe Biden. And the media keeps fact-checking the bejesus out of him. And then who gives the opening statement today? Joe Biden's former acting associate attorney general, Matthew Colangelo. So this case was a dead dog. The FEC didn't do anything to it. The U.S. attorney in New York didn't touch it. This guy parachutes in, number three guy at Biden's Justice Department, into Bragg's office, CPRs this thing to life. No one can even name the crime here. And then Joe Biden's not involved in this anyway. Joe Biden's number three justice official gave the opening statement at the trial. Mm-hmm. I am going to fact check the fact checker.
And Kaylee, Andy McCarthy, of course, he's a Fox News contributor and former U.S. prosecutor. He said the point of Bragg's dire framing of the case is to distract the jury's attention from how trivial the actual charges are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. As Andy McCarthy has said previously, this is the zombie case. It was the case no one wanted to take. You made the point that FEC chairman doubted the validity of this case. SDNY didn't bring the case. Federal prosecutors didn't bring the case. Cy Vance didn't bring the case. All of a sudden, President Trump declares his candidacy for president. And pow, April of last year, all of a sudden, Alvin Bragg brings the case. Screaming political, especially when you have the New York Times. They went and surveyed all of the cases out there. No friend of Donald Trump, the New York Times. New York State prosecutors have never before filed an election law case involving a federal campaign. Jim Trusty, pretty much historically unique, something you will never see again. But Trump, here is where he's advantaged. Biden was on the campaign trail today. He will be on the campaign trail tomorrow. I've watched several of the networks today. No one's talking about Joe Biden. He is driving the narrative. President Trump is. He is on defense when he's talking to reporters. He should also go on offense. Hold up the NBC poll. Say, check out page 14. I'm beating Biden on inflation, on the economy. Go through all of that. Force the reporters to see that the Joe Biden presidency is a failure.
He does command the attention, right? And so Biden went and did a big Earth Day event today in Virginia in a national park. And you're right. You don't see much of that. Marie, one of the things that Ruth Marcus from The Washington Post wrote, she's a liberal commentator and columnist. She said, why did this have to be the case that went first and getting all the attention? How are Democrats feeling about it?
I think Democrats, a lot of us agree with that, that if you look at the 91 criminal indictments Donald Trump is facing, I would much rather the first case be about efforts to overturn an election, right? Or the classified documents case when he attempted to obstruct justice and destroy classified documents. A lot of Democrats will tell you this isn't the perfect one. But he actually is, I mean, Jesse, to your point, he is given special treatment. He is under a gag order that any other defendant, if they violated repeatedly on Twitter, online, would have already been thrown in jail. He is under court orders that any other defendant would have, and he is violating them every single day. And so, Kaylee, I agree with you that he is getting a lot of the press attention. The open question in my mind is whether that will be positive for him. When all of the attention is about paying off a porn star, right, is about all of the criminal indictments, him lying, him acting chaotic. I don't know at the end of the day if that press attention will help him when we know independent voters particularly don't like that chaos. They don't like the lying. They don't like the moral shortcomings and failures of Donald Trump. I actually think that that press attention might hurt him and help Biden in the end.
But if you do look at that NBC poll that came out over the weekend, Brian, President Trump is beating Biden by a lot in several of the key issues that matter to people, especially inflation, also mental capacity, immigration, crime.
Leadership.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's closing a little bit on the national poll. It's closing in some state polls. He still has a lead over in Michigan, dead heat in Wisconsin, dead heat in Pennsylvania. Other polls have him up in Pennsylvania. But just for the record, Kaylee is also a lawyer.
Oh, good.
You, Jesse.
Yeah. There's two of us.
That really helped.
Convene.
Right.
I would take her in court with
a couple
me.
Of things.
Sorry,
the one, Kaylee, the one thing that you said is interesting, that Joe Biden gets on the trail, no one's following him. It's really a good thing for him because he is terrible on the stump. You saw, we'll play a little bit later, he gets asked about these questions about Columbia. He has really no idea what's happening. He said, did the Columbia president, should she be fired? Because I didn't know she was fired. So he's totally confused by everything. And he can't react to anything, so they're trying to keep him away. But you're right. And I don't think President Trump's been chaotic at all. He comes out by the bike racks a couple of times and gives a speech, gives some remarks. I'm really frustrated. And James Trusty told me over the weekend, too, almost no other defendant that he knows of would be under a gag order right now, period. A couple of things that happened today. The prosecution kept saying conspiracy over and over again, conspiracy to promote an election. So that is something how the law reads. He kept saying conspiracy. And the more Kerry, who was in there, thought about it, it's like there was really nothing there. The other thing that they kept saying is the defense kept saying an NDA is there's nothing wrong with having an NDA. And every time he said that, every time the defense said that, Matt Colangelo would object and they'd say sustained. And then he would say it again which made her think that the judge really didn't have a problem with it. They're almost trying to break their momentum. They don't want the jury to hear over and over again that having an NDA there's nothing wrong with it. There's no violation there. I think overall today, it just goes to show you that if you do have a dental problem, you can end a court case early. That's what happened today. An alternate juror leaves with a dentist problem. But Barron, I guess, is only graduated from high school mm-hmm. just one day, but we can't go to that. Maybe if the president says, I have a wisdom tooth that's impacted, I think I can maybe see Barron, who would certainly stand out in the graduation line. So I think every day it's going to be interesting to see sketches and accounts mm-hmm. of what happens inside the courtroom.
All right. Great talk, everyone. Up next, Hillary Clinton can't get Donald Trump out of her head. The alarming thing she's accusing him of next.
From pep in their step to
from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Well, it looks like a certain somebody is still living rent-free in Hillary Clinton's head. The former Secretary of State is making her most unhinged attack yet regarding the guy she lost to in 2016, and yes, she did lose. This is the quote she just came out with. Trump is like Gaga over Vladimir Putin because Putin does what he would like to do. Kill his opposition. Imprison his opposition. Drive journalists and others into exile. Rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. But is this the type of obsession with Donald Trump drowning out President Biden's message? Some Democrats and the media think so. Watch this.
The problem for Joe Biden and for the Democrats is Trump is crowding out, the trial is crowding out everything else. So Joe Biden goes out and does major policy things, but everything else is crowded out. And it's the Trump story.
This is a guy that doesn't care if he is the hero or the heel. He just wants to be the star. And in so many ways, he gets what he wants. And when we're focusing on him, I do worry electorally that he has a slight advantage.
Haley, do you think so? Do you think Gavin Newsom's saying something is a legitimate worry?
Yes.
In what respect?
Absolutely. Look, I remember 2016, and at the time I was at CNN, they were obsessed with Donald Trump. You might as well call it the Donald Trump channel, and gave him maximum coverage. It's the same today. And I understand what you're saying, Marie, about the fact pattern of the case, despite being bogus. But we're not hearing from the witnesses in the case. We're hearing about what the witnesses are saying through reporters. We are hearing from Trump. And where other liberal networks used to not take his statements, they are now taking them in full. He has a megaphone.
I watched it on CNN today.
He has a huge megaphone. They're right. And what's the left doing? Hillary Clinton's comments, like taking the most extreme portrayal of him, which, by the way, Joe Scarborough made similar comments saying Trump said he'd execute generals. He never said that. The left can rest with extreme caricatures. Trump just needs to speak directly to the American people every chance he gets.
But Dana, don't you think he should take it from the courtroom to do more bodega-like appearances, whether it's going to a supermarket, like you said, with inflation?
I think you've got to pick your battles. I mean, he can't do it every night. I mean, I sort of said last week, I'd pick a different grocery store every night and show the price of eggs. But he can't do that every night because then obviously
But it is a good idea.
I do think he should do something in the evenings, like, let's go to get pizza served. What do you want to do? Like, get him out, get him into the city. When he was at the bodega, everyone was cheering for him. Little kids crying, like, oh, my gosh, I got to meet the president. Like, they were incredible. I think today he could have gone and done some solidarity with some Jewish students at Columbia or, gone to Yale. And it's not far. You can get to New Haven.
The good news is it's not ending.
and also, though it is Passover, so I know a lot of them are leaving and it's not ending. So, like, there are definitely ways that he could get involved. What about going to a girls' sporting event and supporting them after Biden just changed Title IX, right? Or how about the fact that we had those migrants that were playing on the kids' soccer field
wouldn't
this
let
weekend,
the Manhattan Kickers
and the
play.
American kids are not allowed to play. Like, why don't you go there and say, I'll make sure that you can play today. Like, so yes, there are a lot of things that he could do. What is weird is that Hillary Clinton says that Donald Trump really wants the opposition to be killed. When House Democrats this week killed any opportunity for President Trump to have Secret Service protection in the future if he's convicted. And so that also, I know, like, that might just be a fringe part of the Democrats, but they voted for it, so I would pay attention to that. I do think Hillary Clinton appearing on Mark Elias's podcast is just fodder, right? Like, why would you do that? If you think Trump is in so much trouble, let him hang there by himself. You can have Biden go and do an event that, on Earth Day that nobody pays attention to. But who gets headlines? Who gets bad headlines for them? It's Hillary Clinton every single time.
Crossfire hurricane reunion. That's what it was. And they just got a microphone out. So why not have a rally in the Bronx? Why not book the Garden and do something on a Friday night after your last court appearance?
I'd do the Garden. I'd do the Bronx. I'd do a gas station. I'd do the docks. Yep. I'd hit Staten Island. Mm-hmm. I'd go over to New Jersey.
Staten Island loves him.
Staten Island is Trump country. Mm-hmm. But the guy needs exercise. He's usually golfing. And so you're going to put a man who's almost 80 sitting in a room like this on his butt for all that time. It's not healthy. You know how big of a health nut I am. He needs sunlight and he needs activity. He needs to be walking around. He needs action. It's really cruel and unusual punishment to make a man do that. And anytime he moves, they threaten to throw him in prison. Hillary's saying, I mean, think about how far we've come. And I'm looking at you.
I can feel it, Jesse.
They called Bush a cowboy. That's kind of a compliment. Like, oh, a cowboy. Then they said McCain, the worst knock on him is that he wasn't black. Remember? I mean, you were going to obviously lose to the first black president. And then Romney, what did he do? He had a car garage elevator. And then he said 47% of the country didn't really pay taxes. That was the worst. And they went from that to homicidal dictator.
Right.
What's next?
Great.
Because the Republican Party went from normal to homicidal dictator. Democrats didn't do that.
Who did he kill?
Republicans did. And look.
Who did he kill besides Soleimani?
Hillary Clinton is not the perfect voice out there. I agree, Dana. Like, I don't think she's the one that should be out there prosecuting the case against Donald Trump. But don't ignore what she's saying. I think the question facing voters is whether someone who flouts every ethical, political, legal norm that does things no other Republican. I mean, Mitt Romney would never do these things. I'm sorry that Donald Trump has to sit in court. It's because he has been accused of a bunch of crimes. That's his fault. And so what I would say is we also, Brian, know that voters care about this. In the latest polling, a large number of voters say the future of American democracy, our rights, our freedoms, that really matters to them.
I will say there is irony, though. Hillary Clinton on Mark Elias' podcast, The Steele Dossier, disguised it as a legal payment. They lied about it and had to pay a $130,000 fine. Hillary Clinton wasn't prosecuted in New York.
Yeah, along with her documents.
Yeah, because they didn't indict her.
All right. People don't want to see any presidential candidate, man, woman, Republican or Democrat, in court. But the question is, how did he get there and does he deserve to be there? Meanwhile, ahead. The Ivy League's being overrun by pro-Hamas lunatics, chanting death threats to Jewish students and turning violent. More than one. Don't move.
So what do you think about these?
Never forget the 7th of October.
That will happen.
Never forget the 7th of October.
Not one more time. Not 5 more times. Not 10 more times. Not 100 more times. Not 1,000 more times.
Not 10,000
times.
7th of October is when we get to
you. Pro-Hamas lunatics raging across America's Ivy League campuses. Anti-Israel encampments that started at Columbia are now spreading like a cancer to Yale and other universities. With Passover beginning this weekend, brainwashed radical left-wing students are spewing out some of the most hateful anti-Semitic slogans that they can think of at Jewish students. Some are even getting physically violent. One student claims she was stabbed in the eye during protests at Yale. Things are so bad at Columbia, they actually had to cancel all in-person classes and go virtual. A rabbi there warning Jews to stay away from campus because it's just too dangerous. But radical AOC seems to have no problem with the current campus protests. The squad congresswoman was at a Biden climate event when she said this.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today of all days as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
But leave it to the New York Times to downplay such disgusting displays of anti-Semitism. As just a pizza party for Jew haters. Check out this headline. At Columbia, the protests continued with dancing and pizza. Dana, usually the New York Times wouldn't describe any sort of violent event here in the United States. It's just a dancing pizza party. What happened here?
I think that academia for over the years has graduated people that now work in a lot of places, especially the media. And then you see this coming out. And one of the things that's happening is this is spreading like wildfire. But then you realize it was kind of all there beneath the surface because it doesn't just happen overnight. This has been building. But what I think is really interesting is that these students in the last little bit, they've gone from calling for a ceasefire to being pro-Hamas and being very open of saying, like, we want Jews to die. We want Israel to go away. And you have a rabbi having to tell Jewish students, for your own safety, you have to leave the university. This is academia in 2024. Nate Silver had a piece. He used to be New York Times, and now he does his own thing. And he's a real good pollster. But he recommended everyone this weekend, like, stop trying to go to these Ivy League schools. Go to a state school. You'll be fine. And academia and education has been so important, especially in the Jewish community, that this is a real wake-up call for them. The tough thing for anti-Semitism truthers is that we're all watching this. It's all available for us to see. So the New York Times can have that ridiculous headline, but the video and the pictures are there for everyone to see. It's very chilling. And my last point is the president has put out a statement over the weekend through a spokesperson. Yeah. Fine, great. That was a pretty decent statement. But why isn't he speaking? He had an opportunity today, and Kaylee will remember this. Let's say, of course, the president wants to talk about Earth Day. I get it. But the news of the day is that you have Jewish students literally being told to go home because they are in danger of their safety. And you don't think you should top the president's Earth Day speech with something that reassures them that you're on their side? I find that missed opportunity to be very unfortunate, to say the least.
Happy Earth Day, by the
way. Thank you. I appreciate that.
The president...
to all who celebrate.
They did catch up to him as he was leaving the Earth Day event. Let's listen to what he said.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Did he just say they're fine people on both sides?
Yeah, we have to understand. Yeah, with the Palestinians. I watched that. I watched it in closed caption in my office because he just, there's nothing. It just stopped writing. Right. He goes, they have to understand what's happening with the Palestinians. And then he just slurred four or five words. And then he answered. Then the follow-up question right after that was, what do you think should happen with the president? They're calling him for him to resign. He goes, I didn't know she resigned. So he was totally out of the loop. We're the people next to him. You guys would know. But don't you brief the president before, this is what they're going to be yelling at you. These are the issues that's going to be happening. This president, maybe you should take a look at this video before you go out there.
Or also, you know that President Trump's going to be in court all day. So why don't you want to be in the head of the news and say, I'm the president. I'm going to talk about anti-Semitism today and lead it.
Absolutely.
He doesn't do that.
How about this? I would actually think a good president would pick up the phone to the Columbia president and the NYPD and say, you get on campus.
Yeah.
That's out of control in New York City. It's only going to get worse. Don't wait for them to call. If you have to, you call the president, say you're coming in. Say you heard about some type of illegal activity happening on that campus. I need to go in there. Now, in Yale, we watched live this morning on Fox and Friends. Jesse, I know you didn't get up until Dana was on, so I'll fill you in. But that was some of the in-between segments talk. But on Fox and Friends at Yale, they were blocking the entrances. Cops made an announcement. You'd better stop blocking the entrances. They arrested 49 people. Then it got to be an organized protest. It's mixed in with students. It's not just Yale students. It's not just Columbia students. The students told us today that they're just passing off IDs and they're getting onto campus. So these are people just creating havoc. There's some students there. And I just think if the president wanted to take control, there's anarchy and there's anti-Semitism. I think we can be against anarchy and anti-Semitism. This is not a hard one.
So I guess COVID and now anti-Semitism have forced the cancellation of in-person learning now.
Yeah, apparently so. And we know the consequences of that and how devastating it is. You know, the president was roaming through a forest there, it looked like, when he was answering these comments. You remember the press aide in the Easter bunny outfit that, like, hopped up and diverted him during the Easter egg roll? He needs, like, a press aide disguised as a bear or a raccoon or something to stop that, because that was not a good look. You know, they put out this White House statement, and then AOC, the remarks she played, happened at that Earth Day event. After that, Biden said, Rep. Ocasio-Cortez of NY, I learned a long time ago, listen to that lady. This was right after she made the remarks condoning the protest. Imagine if this was happening on Trump's watch and Marjorie Taylor Greene got up there condoning anti-Semitic protests where people are shouting October 7th will not happen one time but 10,000 times. Kefir Bibas, little one-year-old, abducted 10,000 times. Babies in oven, 10,000 times. Marjorie Taylor Greene endorses that and then Trump endorses her? What would the headlines be? What would the headlines? But they don't exist because this is Joe Biden and Ocasio-Cortez.
I'll give you the last word.
Well, it did happen when Donald Trump was president. I mean, one of the reasons Joe Biden said he ran for president was watching Charlottesville, right? I went to UVA. I watched what happened on that college campus when they shouted, Jews will not replace us. And I think that, you know, the Biden administration has made fighting anti-Semitism a key part of their agenda. Doug Imhoff, the second gentleman, he's Jewish. He's talked about it a lot. But I agree. I think he should be out there talking more. I think that we have lost in this country any ability to you know, reasonably and rationally debate what is happening right now. To your point, Dana, it started off with, okay, what does a ceasefire look like? What is an end to this conflict look like? What should we do with Palestinian refugees? How do we, you know, Palestinian governance, all of that. When it transitions into pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic rhetoric, wherever that is, right, I think that is where the line has to be drawn. And I was happy to hear the Biden statement about it, and I obviously want to hear more. And I'd like President Trump also to weigh in on it as well.
Marie, though, I don't think it's a matter of our society being unable to debate. These are crazy, radicalized kids that we should ask who did this. I'd like to know on TikTok how many pro-Palestinian stories have been on. If they've been on this for, if the average 15 to 22-year-old has been on TikTok for 90 minutes, 170 million people on a daily basis, and maybe even more, what are they learning on their news feed that gets them so incensed about the Palestinian cause, which is not something on the tip of everyone's tongue for the last 15 years? In fact, we were talking about the Abraham Accords, and the Palestinians have basically elected Hamas and nullified their acceptance as a possible organization and a possible state.
We're going to give Brian the last word on that.
I know. Thank you, Jesse.
Ahead, nobody's safe from crime in Joe Biden's America, even liberal mayors.
New concerns over the safety of ordinary citizens in the second biggest city in America after its mayor became a victim of crime for the second time. A burglar breaking into the home of Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass by smashing a window while she was inside. The suspect has been arrested and nobody was injured, but it's the second time in 3 years that Bass has been the victim of a home break-in. Critics argue that Mayor Bass only has herself to blame after she championed progressive policies like no cash bail.
It's really an embarrassment on our country that we have more people locked up in the United States than any place in the world. And if you look at the many, many, many people who are locked up, they're locked up because they're poor, because they can't afford bail or they can't afford proper legal defense.
So, Dana, this is the official mayoral residence. This isn't just her private home. Why didn't she have better security? I've been perplexed about this.
I don't know. We could ask Nancy Pelosi the same thing when her husband, what was the guy's name that broke in?
Paul Pelosi.
No, but what the guy's name.
Oh, God. What was that freak's name? DePape.
DePape. That's right. That guy. I mean, I guess that the answer here is that if you are the victim of a property crime in Los Angeles, you call 911 and just say you're at part of Karen Bass's team, and then you'll get special treatment. Otherwise, they don't come and take care of you. I don't want her to be in danger. I don't want any of this, but I also don't want Democrats to keep trying to shame people who are pointing out that crime and the quality of life is going down. Like, they'll say, but murders are down. I'm like, great, stop breaking into my house. Like, there's just this weirdness, and also we know that the statistics are all being played with. I don't want her to ever have to, I don't want anyone to be a part of this, but we have to make sure also that somebody like this gets prosecuted. So because it was her, will this guy who was arrested actually be prosecuted, or will he be let out like all the others?
What do you think about that, Kaylee?
You know, we see this happen to a lot of Democrat elected officials. There was a congresswoman in Philadelphia who was carjacked, victim of crime. There was the Illinois Senate Majority Leader carjacked. Henry Cuellar, congressman, carjacked. Yeah. I wonder if this causes people to reassess their views on crime. Karen Bass, the facts here are egregious. Okay, this guy got to the second floor of her home.
And she hid in a safe room.
She had to hide into what was akin to, exactly, a panic room. And the guy had a previous criminal history. The suspect in this had previously been charged with kidnapping and attempted murder. Listen to this, for using a hammer and a snow brush to beat a man bloody inside of a van. That's according to the LA Times. He did 7 years in jail. Karen Bass today didn't answer many questions about it. I understand it's an open criminal investigation, but if you're hiding in a panic room, the guy had priors, maybe reassess if people like this should be walking free after attempted murder in a 7-year sentence.
Jesse, Dana brought up the crime numbers, which Democrats do like to talk about. Homicides are down in L.A. Property crimes are up about 3.5% over the last year. So, you know, even though some of the numbers are going down, people still feel unsafe.
Actually, homicide is up.
Not over the last year, about 17%.
No, it says homicide right here, up 15%.
See, okay. We disagree on the numbers.
Well, actually, you disagree with my correct numbers. When you go into a panic room, that is your last resort. I mean, I have a panic room in my house. I use it sometimes to get out of dishes. But it's very important that this story isn't underplayed, because you now have a mayor of the second largest city in the country, and this is the second home invasion. She had two weapons stolen from her last house, right. And now they're getting to the second floor of the official residence. This is on the heels of Nancy Pelosi's house having a home invasion where this guy knocked Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer. And everyone's getting carjacked in Congress. I think the Secret Service detail for one of the Biden family members, there was an attempted carjacking of their SUV. They unloaded rounds in the middle of Georgetown. No one even knows what happened to the perp.
Yep.
They can't keep saying crime is down when these high-profile incidents just keep penetrating the psyche of the American people. It's not going to fly in November.
I was looking at last year's statistics. You're looking year-to-date, so we were both right in our numbers, actually. But, Brian, I want to come to you. The last time she had her home broken into, they stole two handguns. So she actually had guns at home. Didn't seem to protect her.
And a panic room. It's like she fully expected to be invaded again. She had everything. I'm glad she's okay. Ephraim Hunter is this guy's name. The second time he's been charged with murder, we know him back in 2015. I would say this. This is the nicest mayor's house I've ever seen. Even Donald Trump says that is a step up from Mar-a-Lago. Did you see the overhead
nice
shot at that place? Did you see that? That is a beautiful mayor's mansion. But that's where she lives. This is one thing I hope people understand. If crime is up, if prices are down, and when politicians say just the opposite, when politicians come out and say crime's not a problem, we got it under control, bail reform has been a success, we know you're not telling us the truth. So you suddenly lose total credibility. And then when it happens to you, at least say you had a revelation and you understand what the American people think, and don't pander to them like Governor Hochul did and say, even though crime's down, people don't feel that way, so I'll put guys in camouflage without guns to check through 50-year-old housewives' pocketbooks. So you'll feel better getting on the subway, but the muggings and shootings and stabbings still happen. So just don't tell us something we don't know.
And don't forget punching women in the
face. Right. That's a new thing. 50 women have been punched blindly, just randomly, in the streets of New York City. That's the new game.
Yeah. And Gutfeld's mysteriously been off for the last week.
Well, hopefully Mayor Bass's luck gets a little better. And coming up, President Biden's suggestion that cannibals ate his uncle in Papua New Guinea is cooking up quite the diplomatic controversy. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you by Progressive.
There's one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys. You gotta draw a hard line.
Why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That's a bad way to go.
Your last line, it's for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter.
Well, it wasn't for a laugh, because that's actually what the president said. But the White House says you should not be joking about President Biden's tall tale of cannibals eating his uncle, because it might have caused an international incident. The prime minister, Papua New Guinea, certainly is not joking in his response to the president's story, saying this. President Biden's remarks may have been a slip of the tongue. However, my country does not deserve to be labeled as such. The prime minister also demands America clean up the remnants of World War II. Dana, the tall tales about Ambrose Finnegan coming back to bite them.
I mean, yeah, indeed. They bit him pretty hard. I think, like, whenever you're the president, you're speaking to multiple audiences all at once. And, like, yeah, we can laugh about it, but you imagine you are the prime minister of Papua New Guinea, and now every Google search is coming up and saying, you've got this problem. So he's the leader of his country, and he has to deal with this. So now he's forced to come out and say, this didn't happen. And actually, by the way, could you guys clean up this World War II mess? He should use that to his advantage and get the Biden team to say, we'll do it. We're sorry.
Yeah. You know, Jesse, there was also an academic in Papua New Guinea who said, implying that your uncle jumps out of the plane and somehow we think it's a good idea that he's a good meal is unacceptable. They wouldn't just eat any white guy that fell from the sky.
Like they're just sitting around with a knife and fork looking up at the clouds. I would pull the ambassador if someone said something like this. This is a huge international incident. It's going to have massive implications for the Pacific. I remember, and R.I.P. Uncle Bozy, what a way to go. You know, of all the ways to go, that's probably the worst one. This reminds me of when Trump said Haiti was an ish whole country, and it broke down the funding deal for the wall. Everybody walked out. Oh, my God, how dare he say a country is an ish whole country?
It's gotten so much better since.
What's worse, a country is an ish whole country, or the country ate your uncle?
Yes.
This is so much worse.
It's really bad. They just signed a defense cooperation agreement we did with the country. And then what happened? What happened was China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, met with the prime minister in the capital on Sunday.
Oh. Yeah, Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, has actually met with the Papua New Guineans a number of times. They signed a defense cooperation pact last May.
This helped, right?
This is where Joe Biden's tendency to freelance a little bit. You can see people in Foggy Bottom probably wishing.
I will say this. Papua New Guinea is vital. I did not realize it. I thought they are vital to the region because of the way China's spreading out. We need a base there. We lost the Solomon Islands, basically, because we just dropped our guard. So it is a problem. And these guys are highly insulted. Said that was one portion of our history, deep in our history. And we hope that the president will come around and apologize and fix it. But keep in mind, the Nelson Mandela story wasn't true. Remember, he says he comes from a long line of coal miners. That wasn't true. Remember, he said he gave a Purple Heart to his uncle who died before he was vice president. He died in 1999. So that wasn't true. He saw two men kissing out in the street in 1950s. Almost nobody thinks that's true because that wasn't even happening in the 1950s.
Hey, Corn Pop is true.
That's true. Yeah. That's the one thing that we can't find Corn Pop either.
That is quite a resume and a panoply of life experiences. I will try to keep up, Mr. President. One more thing up next.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution.
It's time now for one more thing. There was a horse in Connecticut. He had these police officers on a slow speed chase. He got out of his pen and he just went all around Connecticut. And they said, horse, you got to pull on over. And he is not being held on bail. You get it? That was pretty funny from the producer. Also, don't miss my latest podcast. Jesse mentioned earlier, it is Earth Day. And we talked politics about the environment with Daniel Turner. He is the founder and executive director of Power the Future. Fun conversation, great person. Check it out. Jesse.
The LBI book signing was, for lack of a better word, electric. People are getting a little carried away with the hair thing. I said that to be punchy. You know, you can touch my hair. You cannot run your fingers through my hair. It's gotten a little out of hand. Everyone wants to touch it now.
But it's weird. It never, even if they do that, your hair stays the same.
Well, I put it back to the way it's supposed to be. But yeah, we had a lot of people. And then we had a cameo appearance. The family showed up. Everybody.
Aww.
Twins, Jesse Jr., Gigi, all made a surprise appearance. And then I'm going to be in Vero Beach, Florida. Next weekend, Mendham, New Jersey later, Yorba Linda. Tonight, Jesse Waters primetime. Johnny went to AOC's district.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Did a deep dive.
I like it. Brian.
Home game for you, yes, on the signing, right? You
just home got to walk
out your house. All right. I got to tell you, there's some controversy at a Washington Nationals game. We had the running of the presidents. That's not a big deal. But out of nowhere came the Nationals park announcement. He now screeched Nationals mascot, came out and started tackling the presidents one after another. To see these hits on Teddy Roosevelt. I actually don't know what's behind this, but these guys must have heavy padding or their heads are empty and they see through their necks. because these guys hit the ground so hard. Quick announcement, the History, Liberty, and Laughs tour stops down in Henderson, Nevada on Saturday night. Hopefully you'll join me there, and then Indianapolis on June 29th. Right after that, BrianKilmeade.com.
Kaylee. Well, anyone who knows me knows I love Taco Bell, Crunchwrap Supreme, Dorito Taco Loco. The list goes on. Well, now I love something else. Her name is Becky Arbol, a manager at a Taco Bell in Bucks County. A mother came out. Her 11-month-old was turning blue, not breathing. Becky Arbol helped her, gave the baby CPR, started breathing, and the mother says she was a guardian angel. Becky Arbol says she was just a mom being a mom.
Amazing. Wow. Marie, take us home.
Okay, last but not least, 25-year-old Nelly Korda is making a splash in the golf world, claiming her fifth consecutive LPGA Tour win, tying the record. She did the traditional cannonball into the water in Woodland, Texas, after she won. What a golden age for women's sports.
Are there
amazing.
Alligators there? I don't know. Anyway, that's it for us. Have a great night.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.